بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسماء ذات البروج واليوم الموعود وشاهد ومشهود. قتل أصحاب الأخدود النار ذات الوقود إذ هم عليها قعود وهم على ما يفعلون بالمؤمنين شهود وما نقموا منهم إلا أن يؤمنوا بالله العزيز الحميد الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض والله على كل شيء شهيد إن الذين فتنوا المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثم لم يتوبوا فلهم عذاب جهنم ولهم عذاب الحريق إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ذلك الفوز الكبير إن بطش ربك لشديد إنه هو يبدئ ويعيد وهو الغفور الودود ذو العرش المجيد ذو العرش المجيد فعال لما يريد هل أتاك حديث الجنود فرعون وثمود بل الذين كفروا في تكذيب والله من ورائهم محيط بل هو قرآن مجيد في لوح محفوظ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفعنا وأن يرزقنا علما نافعا ونعوذ به من العلم الذي لا ينفع. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا ووالدينا عذاب القبر والنار يا عزيز يا غفار. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. This is the greatest advice of all, to have taqwa. We ask Allah عز وجل to make us of المتقين. Allah عز وجل in Quran has given us an endless life. The one who lives with Qur'an is living a life that is completely different than anyone else because it makes your life eternal. The one who's living without Qur'an is living in his time and era and is restricted with the 60 or 70 or 80 years that they're going to live on the face of the earth. But the one who lives with Qur'an starts his living since the day Adam arrived on earth. In fact, even before, because we have the story of Adam alayhi salam when he was created and in Jannah. So that's when you start. And you live with Adam alayhi salam, and you live with Nuh alayhi salam, and you live with the Anbiya. Because about half of Quran, in terms of size, about half of Quran is dealing with the past. Almost half of Quran is Qasas al-Awwaleen. And the majority of it is about al-Anbiya, even though there's some stories that do not involve Anbiya, like the story of Talut, story of the youth of the cave, and so on. So that's half of Qur'an. And then Ibn al-Qayyim says, almost half of Qur'an is dealing with al-Ghayb, the future. It's dealing with death, the Day of Judgment, paradise, hellfire. So now you have half of Qur'an dealing with the past and almost half of Qur'an is dealing with the future. And then you have a small part, about 500 ayat, is dealing with the ahkam, the laws. Because the details of law came in sunnah. You have the general rules in Quran and then the details are in Sunnah. So Quran is dealing with the past and dealing with the future. So the one who is living with Quran has an extended life. Quran has told us that the history of the world is a conflict between haqq and batil, between truth and falsehood. That's the history of the world. It is between the awliya of Allah and the awliya of shaitan. And the results are different. So you have, for example, in the story of Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, Shu'aib alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Quran tells us that the non-believers were destroyed and that the believers were saved, but it doesn't tell us what happened to them when they were saved. Quran leaves it open. It makes it clear that the enemies of Allah were destroyed and that the awliya of Allah were saved, but we don't know what they did after that. So we don't know what the followers of Hud alayhi salam did when the rest of the people were destroyed. So that's one result. And then Quran tells us about Musa alayhi salam, for example. It says that Allah has destroyed his enemies, but then we know what happened to the believers after that. They were given tamkeen. They entered into the Holy Land and they were victorious, even though the victory wasn't complete, but at least they did establish the hukm of Allah at one point of time. That is the peak of the era of Banu Israel. And then we know the story of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he had a complete victory and his enemies were destroyed. So these are three different results. However, there's a fourth result, and I believe that it's very important for us to learn more about it. And that is the story of Al-Akhdud. Here you have a believing people. People who believed in Allah Azza wa Jal and followed Islam. And they were living under the rule of a tyrannical king. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions to us this story in Surah Al-Buruj. When these people became Muslim, the king persecuted them and he ordered trenches to be prepared, filled with fire, and that every one of these believing people be given the choice of either giving up your religion or burning to death. And according to the story, they were all burnt to death. All of them were killed. So here you have a different result. Here, rather than the non-believers being destroyed, it is the Muslim nation who were burnt. And the story does not tell us what happened to the king and his followers after that. And why is it very important to talk about this story now? And it's also interesting to note that this story was revealed in Mecca. Quran is a tarbiyah for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and for every Muslim. Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling the believers here that this may happen to you. By becoming a believer, you may have to pay a price. You may have to give sacrifice and lose your life while the enemy is still alive and surviving. Therefore, this is to tell the believer that when you are believing in Allah Azza wa Jal, you have to be prepared for whatever will come. You might be burnt at the stake, you might be killed, you might be thrown in jail, but you have to be ready and prepared. Don't think that the result will always be victory in dunya. Don't think that the result will always be similar to what happened with Hud alayhi salam and Salih alayhi salam or Musa alayhi salam or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It could happen that you would be persecuted in dunya and you would lose. And these are mu'mineen. So this is to prepare the believer that you are believing in Allah and you're waiting for the reward, not in dunya but in akhirah. And this was something that Rasulullah ﷺ made very clear to Al-Ansar. Rasulullah ﷺ was in desperate need for help because he had to leave Mecca. And he got